happy Sabbath. Just before I get started, I just want to have one more word of prayer. If you would just bow your heads with me. Lord, I just ask for your presence to be within this house. May I just be a nail in the wall with the picture of Jesus and work through that. Touch each and every one of us so that as we leave this room today, we know that Jesus Christ was with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it wasn't long ago we were thinking about Christmas. You know, and as young people, I'm sure they were just couldn't wait for Christmas to be here and open up their gifts and see what they got. But now Christmas is almost a month past. 2018 is upon us. And I was just wondering, are we the same today as we were January 27th, 2017? Or have we grown in Jesus Christ? As you came here today, if you changed lanes from the left to the right, you should have looked over at your right-hand mirror to make sure that path was clear. And you should have also looked in your overhead mirror to make sure that path was clear. But do you know what the mirror says on the right? Does anybody know what the mirror says on the right? Objects are what? They are closer than they may appear. Do you know why the right mirror says that, not your left mirror? Has anybody ever thought about that? Do you know why your right mirror says that and the left mirror doesn't say that? Well, you see, because you have to look about 3.5 feet to your right to see that mirror, it's the reason because your mind changes when you look right there to your left. Your perception is different. That's amazing, isn't it? Your perception is different from 18 inches to 3.5 foot. So what do you think the perception is of the people when you say you're a Christian and you don't act Christian? What do you think about that? I mean, I have some Christian friends at work that forgiveness is far from them. How can you be a Christian and not have forgiveness? So my perception of what they think of a Christian is not the same as I might think of a Christian who has forgiveness, would it be? Things can be so different in the way we view things and the way we're viewed. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is about a story about a man named Joseph. But I'll tell you what, I think you could almost turn the story backwards sometimes and see some different things. Like when Joseph had those dreams where he was lifted up and the others bowed down to him, was there not a little bit of pride in him telling that story? I mean, did he know where God was taking him then? Did he know where God was taking him? No, he didn't know where God was taking him. If you go to the end of the story, yes, you can see where God took him. But at that time, did he know where God was taking him? No. So I think there was a little pride built up in that young man. I think each and every one of us have pride. And there's nothing wrong with being prideful as long as that pride doesn't change who you are as a person. What I mean by that is that you're not uppity-uppity because you think you're so much better. But I think at a young part of his life, he had a little bit of pride in him. But where did that start from? Didn't it actually start from his father? Didn't his father show favor upon him? He showed major favor upon him. So as parents, and I love the way Southwest puts it. Have you ever flown on Southwest? So they tell you when the oxygen mask drops, if you got two kids there, pick the one you love the most and put it on his or her face first, and then put it on the second one. You know they're just kidding. You know they're just kidding, but you know what? There's a lot of truth to some of that, the way people are parents. And we need to stay clear of showing favoritism over one over the other. But yet he actually put that on Joseph, didn't he? I can understand why. It was from his last wife, the one he loved the most. She had passed away, and he only had Joseph and Benjamin. So I kind of understand why he did that, but still, the reason was wrong. And then as Joseph went out with his little bit of pride and shared it with his brothers, what did they do? Did they love Joseph? No, they didn't love Joseph. They hated Joseph. So one day Joseph went to see his brothers, and they were far away. They actually weren't in the first place where they're supposed to be. They had gone to another place, because I would like you to read Genesis 37 on with Joseph later on today if you get a chance. It's a great story. But as he got there, what did his brothers do to him? They threw him into a pit, didn't they? Have you ever been in a pit? Maybe not an actual pit where you're down in the ground, but have you ever felt like you're in a pit? Like your Christian walk with God's not where it should be? Or things just aren't in the same place that they should be? And you think God is far away? What do you think Joseph felt when he was in that pit? I think if he was a real rational and smart person, he would have started thinking, maybe I shouldn't always told him about all my dreams the way I told them. You know, maybe I shouldn't have put myself, because I already knew, I'm just thinking to himself, I already knew that they knew that Dad loved me more than them, so that was already an issue. So maybe I shouldn't have done all that. But not only is he just thrown in a pit, what do they do with him next? They sell him into slavery. Well, like Bruce said, at least they didn't kill him. And that is a good thing. They didn't kill him because of Reuben, correct? So Reuben had a little bit of semblance of morality. But if it wasn't for... But anyway, they sold him as a slave. Have you ever felt a slave to something? Have you ever felt a slave to your finances? Have you ever felt a slave to work? I actually enjoy my job. I know that might sound crazy to some. The only time I don't enjoy my job is when it's really beautiful outside. It's about 80 degrees, and I got to sit in front of a computer because I'm not an indoor person. I don't like that at all. So now he's in slavery. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back a little bit. Dad loved me the most. I shouldn't be in this situation. Jesus gave me the dreams where my brother's dad bowed down to me, and now they sold me into slavery. I don't quite get it. And then when he is sold as a slave, as he's sold on the auction block, who buys him? Potiphar. Is Potiphar just a regular, ordinary person? He's not actually a regular, ordinary person. He's a pretty high-up person in this society for that day, isn't he? And what happens when Joseph takes over for Potiphar? Everything about that household runs smoothly. It's running the best it's ever run. It's actually, I don't know what Potiphar did outside his work, but whatever it was, Joseph made the household to where it even made a profit. Joseph was very smart, very intelligent, and knew what he was all about. But yet he was a slave, and yet he was still doing this for Potiphar. See, I think his perception was never lost. I think sometimes with us, if we had been thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, and now here you are in a foreign land, maybe you wouldn't have that same perception as Joseph. But something kept Joseph on track. How many people like here, people here like the color gray? Anybody like the color gray? Gray. Okay. I like gray too. How many people like the color blue? A lot of people like the color blue. I like both colors. But you know what I don't like? I don't like gray and blue put together. You know why? It's usually a state trooper pulling me over because I've been going too fast. My perception of gray and blue is I don't like it. Oh, that's right. He's exactly right. See, he hit the nail right on it. There was another reason I don't like gray and blue. Thank you, brother. because you're right. I didn't even think about that. But it's so amazing how each one of us in here like different colors. Do you know why I like green and blue so much? Because I love green fairways and blue skies. Because I love to play golf. But it's what happens to us in life which can change our viewpoint. It can also change our perception. How you doing? I see an old friend in the church today. And I don't mean in age, just an old friend. It's good to have you here today. So Joseph is now in Potiphar's house. And what happens to Joseph? Huh? But what happens to Joseph when he's in Potiphar's house? And I don't even know if he's a hottie, but his wife does like him. His wife does like him. Then she actually accuses him of messing with her, and then he's done. Then what happens to him? He gets thrown into jail. So wait a minute. Tell me how you go from being the father's favorite to your brother's bowing down to you to now you're in jail. What would you do if this was your life as Joseph? Would you start doubting in Jesus Christ? Would you start having your doubts that these dreams were even had any value to them for your life? I think you would start to question them. Because you're just going down, down, down. Nothing's headed up yet. And then these two guys are thrown into jail, and he hears their dreams. He tells them their dreams. And he says, look, when you go before the Pharaoh, don't forget me. What happens? He forgets him. For how long? 2 years. But then what happens? One day it comes about that the Pharaoh had a dream. He needed an interpretation. Then the cupbearer remembered, oh, by the way, I can't believe I forgot 2 years ago. This guy in jail can interpret your dreams. And then Joseph is brought before the Pharaoh. And then what happens? He interprets his dreams, doesn't he? And then who becomes equal, or let's say there's a 1A and a 1B. Joseph becomes the 1B, doesn't he? The Pharaoh says, there's no one higher than you except me. And now Joseph has made full circle of his life. And now he's up at the top. And then you know the rest of the stories, how the brothers come before him. They don't recognize him and all that. You know all that. But what was the key to Joseph's life? You know where it says in the mirror, objects may appear closer than they are? Joseph always kept Jesus Christ the closest. He never let Jesus Christ get away. Because if he would have let Jesus Christ get away, his story would have been totally different. But what's so unique about this story? And I'm telling you, you could do 100 sermons on Joseph's story. When his brothers put him into the pit, their hatred for him, did they believe in Jesus Christ? Do you think they believed in Jesus Christ? I don't think so. But Jesus Christ was actually protecting them at the same time, was he not? Did he not also, because he protected Joseph, he also protected his brothers? Do you see how amazing God is? If you're just intertwined with God, he can do amazing things in your life. But if you're not, you're on your own. He just wants you to draw close to him. And then one of the neat people of the Bible, Joseph is a great person. He's one of my favorite people in all the Bible. And if you read that story, and if you even just think of it from the brother's standpoint or Potiphar's standpoint, if you start taking that story from different, man, there's so much you can get from that story. There is so much you can get from that story. But then, who is called the rock? Well, Jesus is the rock, but who did he call the rock? Peter. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Peter deny Jesus Christ 3 times? Did he not? I never forget the story. Jesus, it was a Sabbath like this. Jesus had been preaching to everyone. And then right after he preached, what did he do? He fed 5,000 people. That's what the Bible says. You know, the Bible doesn't usually account for women and children. So there's a good chance it was 10,000 people. But he fed all these people with 5 loaves of, what was it? That's right, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Fed 5,000 people, but we actually know it's probably more. At the end of the day, he was tired, wasn't he? And he had told the disciples to go off to the other side, and he was going to walk up on the mountainside and pray and relax. He said, I had enough for church today. And while he was up on the mountainside, he saw that the disciples were struggling, didn't he, in the water. So now Jesus walks out on the water to go see them. And what do they think they see? A ghost. They think they saw a ghost. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. For who is it? It is I. And Peter said, if it is you, Lord, call me to come out on the water. And he said, come, Peter. And Peter started walking on water. Now, the only water I can walk on is called ice. And as long as it's frozen, I can walk pretty good on water. But that's it. But Peter walked on water with Jesus Christ. But what happened to him? He started seeing the waves and the winds, didn't he? And he took his focus off Jesus Christ. And when he took his focus off on Jesus Christ, what started to happen? He started sinking. His fear took over and he started sinking. One thing about Joseph and Peter, one thing is totally different. In everything that happened to Joseph, I never saw that fear. But Peter showed fear quite often. But yet Peter, by God's standard, is a rock. Is a rock. So if Peter is a rock, then I don't even know what he would call Joseph. Because Joseph was amazing, but yet Peter was a rock. What I'm trying to tell you today is, Jesus is closer than he may appear in your life. If you feel that Jesus is far off, he's only as far off as you keep him. But he's also as close as you bring him. All I'm telling you today is, in 2018, draw him near to you. Draw him super near to you. Make him first in the morning, last before you go to bed. Make him with you all day long. And everything that you do and say, may people see Jesus in you. We had some great speakers when I went to Blue Mountain Academy. We had some great speakers coming in. I've heard some great sermons. But the sermon that changed my life was a sermon I saw a man live out. He lived out Jesus every day of his life. That was the sermon that changed me. Sermons might not change you. But if you live out a sermon for Jesus Christ, you will change people around you. But you can't live out that sermon if you don't draw Jesus in. Just like that mirror says on the car, object may be nearer than they appear. Draw Jesus near and close to your heart. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.
Let's stand and continue to worship. Used to be full my fear, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. Before my failure, carry the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? Can I do? But often it's sad, oh God, completely to you.
My soul.
what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
The only thing that can keep you from God is you yourself, because He is right there before you. This guy, Ed, was just given charge of his very first ship. Battleship. He was proud of that ship. And he was sent out on his first mission. And basically it was just take it out to sea and come back. And as he was going out to sea, fog got heavy that night. And he saw a light coming towards him. And he told the other light, turn 10 degrees north. And the other light told him to turn 10 degrees north. He said, you don't understand. I'm a battleship. You need to turn 10 degrees north. And the light that was coming back to him says, no, you don't understand. I'm a lighthouse. And if you continue in this direction, you will sink. You see, if we don't go to the light of Jesus Christ, we too will sink. We too will sink. But if we go to that light, each and every day, again, first thing in the morning, throughout the day, don't end the day without thanking Jesus for what He did in your life that day. If we go to Him each and every day, if we go to that light, we can stand with arms wide open and surrender that day to Jesus Christ. So, throughout today and the rest of the week and throughout the year 2018, give it all to Jesus, because He's got your back. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we want to come to you today with arms wide open. Surrender the mess of this earth and give it all to you. May your light shine not only in our life, but outside our life, so that we can be a living sermon to those around us, that they see and they want what we have. And what we have and what we want is Jesus Christ. Be with each and every one here today, Lord. May your blessings and your spirit press upon them. And may your grace go with them. And as they stumble and fall, may you pick them up and carry them to the next moment. Lord, we thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's peace, and may you have a good week.